It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
I'm Jimmy Failla.
I'm Rachel Campos Duffy.
I'm Will Kane, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Friday, November 25th, 2022. I'm Eben Brown. NASA's new moon mission has been going well so far, and that means a human return to the moon is still on the cards.
We're really looking forward to completing all the objectives of the mission and getting ready for the next Artemis missions, which will have humans on board.
This is the Fox News Rundown Evening Edition.
The Will Kane Show is now dropping 5 episodes a week. Join Fox and Friends weekend host Will Kane as he tackles the latest headlines from his unique perspective, along with thought-provoking interviews with leading figures and live calls from viewers and listeners. Listen wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
Following both fanfare and delays, NASA launched its first ever Artemis mission designed to ferry humans back to the moon, this time with the intention of learning more and living more at the moon. And while some of that is still years off, NASA is happy that a new rocket and capsule, which had been in the works for longer than a decade, is flying just right.
Well, certainly NASA is proud of the Artemis 1 mission to date.
NASA spokesman Kelly Humphreys, he speaks to us from NASA's Johnson Space Center in Houston.
So far, we're exceeding all expectations with the Orion spacecraft as we've just flung ourselves around the backside of the moon. We're headed for a distant retrograde orbit that will allow us to check out the systems on the spacecraft some more before then we come home and do one of the ultimate tests, which is a fiery re-entry through the Earth's atmosphere and a splashdown in the Pacific Ocean. So, yes, it's been a while in the coming. We've been working on this activity on getting people back into long-duration, far-out space missions, establishing a consistent presence on the moon and getting ready to go to Mars, literally for decades, ever since Apollo. We've been keeping very active in developing our knowledge and understanding of low Earth orbit and how long-duration space flights affect the human body through the Space Shuttle program and the International Space Station program. We've learned a lot about how to work with other countries in partnerships. We also are learning a lot about how to work with private industry to develop a robust low-Earth economy that will serve as the foundation for our future long-term exploration goals. So all of this Artemis 1 mission kind of encapsulates that in this 26-day moment, if you will. And we're really looking forward to completing all the objectives of the mission and getting ready for the next Artemis missions, which will have humans on board.
And I think that's what most people would be excited about, the next couple of missions where they are crewed, there are humans on them, and they will go to the moon and put their feet back onto the lunar surface. So what does the timeline look with that, and is that timeline still feasible, and what really needs to happen to make sure everything stays on track?
Well, you know, this flight is, we're going to learn a lot from this flight. And so I hesitate to get too specific about when we're going to be able to fly again, because so much depends on how well the spacecraft continues to perform, how well its thermal protection system performs during reentry, how well the recovery operations go. But we're looking at trying to get the second Artemis mission up in the late 2023, early 2024 timeframe. And that will set the stage for the next mission, which will be a landing. Now, this Artemis 2 mission is going to be focused on testing out the spacecraft with people inside. We're doing a lot of work on Artemis 1 with purposeful passengers who are essentially highly instrumented mannequins that are going to show us a lot about how this environment affects the human body. Because, as I said, we've been in the orbit for decades now and learning what that does to the human body. But this is a different kind of environment. You're a little farther away from the Earth. There's a different radiation environment that we're trying to learn about. And so a lot of that will inform where we go next and exactly when that is. But so far, all the performance on Artemis Run points us in the direction that we're going to be able to go back on schedule as we're planning.
The missions that will go further to, or that will happen in the future, they are not going to be very much like the old Apollo missions. We're going to build something around the moon and on the moon, aren't we? And that is the plan. What can you tell us about this?
Yeah, well, and it's not just the fact that we're going to try to build a sustained presence on the lunar surface. It's where we're going to do it. We're looking to do it at the South Pole, where there are craters that are so deep and at such a orientation to the sun that sunlight rarely falls in them. And we think that that is going to help us find water ice on the moon that we can use to help sustain our crews, to help make rocket fuel, so that we can develop that capability to land on the moon, do research, take back off. And, of course, all of that is important to our future goals, which is being able to do the same thing on the Martian surface. But that, of course, instead of a few days to get to the surface, is going to take about 6 months or so with current propulsion systems. And so we're learning a lot about the deep space environment and how it affects humans now. We're going to learn a lot about how working on another planetary body works, and we're going to learn a lot about in situ resource utilization or finding that water on the moon that we can use to help power our rockets and sustain our people. And who knows what else we're going to find, because, you know, it's always the unknown unknowns that will surprise you. And sometimes they're good and sometimes they're not. But we need to learn those lessons so that we can go forward.
We're speaking with NASA's Kelly Humphreys from the Johnson Space Center in Houston on the progress of Artemis 1, the return to the moon. On the Fox News Rundown Evening Edition, we'll have more straight ahead. Yeah, the discovery of water, either as ice or as micro droplets on the moon, and also the presence of it perhaps on Mars, that really is the big game changer, because, as you've noted, water is not just for human sustenance, it's rocket fuel. It can be broken down into its elements and used for propulsion. That does change things for the prospect of deep space exploration, does it not?
It does, and not only finding those resources, but finding efficient, effective ways to harvest them for use. You know, it's one thing to find the water; it's another thing to be able to utilize it for what you're wanting to do. And so that's what that sustained presence on the lunar surface, especially down at the South Pole, we hope will tell us.
Let's talk about the remainder of Artemis 1. What we know it's due back, I believe, early to mid December. What is it going to do between now and then before it comes home?
Well, we've already gotten through some major milestones. For example, the Orion spacecraft finished its fourth trajectory correction burn, and that was a maneuver that was putting us into what we call a distant retrograde orbit around the moon. And that's kind of a halo orbit around the moon as it orbits in turn the Earth. And so that's going to teach us a lot about how the spacecraft and its systems function. We also did the outbound powered flyby. We actually went behind the moon's surface where we were out of contact, and that was what helped slingshot us into this distant retrograde orbit. We came really close, only 80 miles from the surface of the moon on that flyby, and interestingly, it passed about 1,400 miles above the Apollo 11 landing site at Tranquility Base, which is really interesting, as well as a couple of the other lunar landing sites from the 60s and 70s. As we continue to do the mission, we've got another maneuver that's going to take us out of this distant retrograde orbit and put us back on a course to come home to the Earth. And then we're planning a splashdown on December the 11th.
You mentioned earlier the economy of low Earth orbit, and I think it's interesting to note that the Artemis project overall is making use of different kinds of spacecraft, some that NASA has designed and built, others from the private sector. And I think perhaps for me the most interesting is actually seeing an Orion craft in orbit or in space and potentially carrying astronauts, because I remember Orion developed for the Constellation program, which we don't talk about much anymore. And at one point, it was the, you know, the future. At one point, I think it was relabeled multi-purpose module or something along those lines. But how cool is it to see something that was designed a while ago and finally actually get some use?
Well, definitely a cool event for all of us here at NASA. The, you know, the folks, I was talking to some of the folks in Mission Control, the mission manager, Mike Serafin, and the launch and ascent flight director, Jed Freeling, yesterday. And they just said that the entire Mission Control team is just agog at what we're doing, and all the great data we're getting back from the spacecraft on its systems. We're also getting a lot of great imagery, and we're trying to share that with the public. As a matter of fact, yesterday we commissioned a new live feed from the Orion spacecraft, and your viewers can go out and take a look at GoNASA/Artemis Live if they want to see a live feed from the spacecraft anytime we have a good signal. So everybody here at NASA, at Johnson Space Center in Houston, is just really excited about this next step in exploration. And all the while, we're trying to keep our eye on the ball. We've got getting ready to have a launch of another cargo craft to the International Space Station. The weather will cooperate. We've got spacewalkers, both Russian and American, that are getting ready to do spacewalks to continue to outfit the International Space Station, give it some new power supplies so it can keep going, and install a new module on the Russian side that is going to give them some additional research and other capabilities. So, and then as well as that, we are developing this low Earth economy that we both mentioned, which is the idea of working with industry to essentially hand off low Earth orbit to industry and let NASA participate as just another client or buyer to buy opportunities to fly and do research both on humans and other kinds of research in low Earth orbit so that we can focus our budgets and our focus on doing that exploration on the moon and getting ready to go to Mars.
Kelly Humphreys from NASA's Johnson Space Center in Houston, thank you so much for being with us on the Fox News Rundown Evening Edition.
I appreciate the opportunity. Thanks.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. And now, stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen ad-free on Fox News Podcasts Plus on Apple Podcasts. And Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on Amazon Music. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com.
This is Jimmy Fallon, inviting you to join me for Fox Across America, where we'll discuss every single one of the Democrats' dumb ideas. Just kidding. It's only a 3-hour show. Listen live at noon Eastern or get the podcast at foxacrossamerica.com.